And welcome to The Watchers Diaries, a weekly podcast all about Buffy. I'm Mary.
And I'm Froggy.
And this week we're talking about season 5, episode 13, Blood Ties. So this past week, an article came out about Luke Perry and his time on the Buffy movie set.
Oh.
I believe the tagline was, "In a world of toxic men, be Luke Perry." So this article was referencing another article, which was a Rolling Stones or Variety. I forget which one. But it's an interview that Fran Rubel-Kazee did.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows they did the movie and kept executive producer credits on the show, even though they weren't really involved because of all the shit that went down between the movie and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But according to the article, he really, even in 1992, understood the privilege he had as a male actor. And he would use that to demand things be better for the females on set.
Oh, that's awesome.
Including her.
Yeah.
And he apparently, like, completely understood and, like, really loved the fact that he was playing the damsel in distress in this movie. And I just, like,
you know, when you hear good things like that about someone that you have loved for a long time, it really is good. It's nice. It's nice that, you know, it's reaffirmed that he was a good.
Yeah.
He was a good guy. Now I'm going to cry.
Right? Like, now I'm even sadder that, like, the world was robbed of Luke Perry so soon.
Yeah. Yeah. He was such a good. I mean, like, he always feels the epitome of, like, just the good guy that you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aww.
Cool. Also, on a side note, we are recording this on the 27th anniversary of the pilot. So happy Buffy Day,
happy
everyone.
Happy Buffy Day.
Okay. Blood Ties. It aired February 6, 2001, and our synopsis is, Dawn's entire world crumbles around her after she learns that she is the key, and dealing with the truth proves to be even harder than anyone had anticipated when she runs away. Glory discovers that the Knights of Byzantium, her competitors for the key, are in town. Do we have any foreign titles?
We have one.
One.
One. Brought to us by the French that have just decided to go with the key.
Okay. They are short and to the point this week.
They decided that they weren't going for the dramatic Blood Ties title. But I do like they pretty much made it all about Dawn.
Yes, exactly. Because that is what this is. This is all about Dawn.
Yes. And Michelle is at her best this week.
Oh, I cannot wait to talk about her performance.
For how young she was when she did this. And for being that, the one thing that I've always said about this show is they play it as if it's not a cheesy monster story. Like, it is about the relationships between the family and the friends, and the monsters are just part of the extra drama.
Yeah. So, of course, we have a previously on, how can we not, after last episode's revelation. It's basically a rundown on Glory and the key, ending with the reminder that Glory is a god. Oh, yeah. We're also reminded that Spike has a big old crush on Buffy. Then we're off to the magic shop, where Buffy is trying to talk everyone out of making merry for her birthday. Her excuse is Glory, but you know what? I don't think Buffy even really needs an excuse. Her last few birthdays have kind of sucked.
Yeah, you know what? I would have, if I was Buffy, I probably would have used that instead of Glory.
Yeah, I would have been like, can we just look at the past 3 years?
Yeah, do we remember the, let's just even go back to my first birthday in Sunnydale. Do we remember that? You know, the one where I died?
Well, no, that wasn't her birthday.
Oh, that wasn't her birthday.
That was the end of the school year. That was like spring fling. We didn't see her birthday first
season.
That's
right. For some reason, I thought that. For some reason, my brain is just.
Yeah, but her first birthday in Sunnydale was when her boyfriend went like evil and tried to kill everyone.
That one, yeah.
So still not the best.
Yeah, she's having a hard time.
Willow says the whole glory thing is exactly why they need a party, with fun and hats and those candles that refuse to go out. They used to scare her. Tara too. Xander, however, is kind of stuck on the god point, like an actual god. It's fine, as Willow reminds everyone of the saying, the bigger they are, the faster they spell you into nothing. Anya is trying to help, but helping wrong.
Yeah.
Buffy doesn't disagree, though. She's thrown everything she has at Glory, and Glory just shrugs it off. So then they find something bigger to throw. Willow is forever the optimist. Giles says, according to the information that the council found, Glory and two of her fellow hell gods ruled over one of the more unpleasant demon dimensions. There's more than one? Oh, there are thousands. Anya explains how each one is a different degree of awful. And Giles says they all border our own reality and that they are constantly trying to find a way in. Looks like Glory found one, but why? Okay, so they know where she's from, but what about her, the god herself? She's tough, but she doesn't seem to have the typical god mojo. No bolts of lightning or fire powers. Giles theorizes that being in human form, it's severely limiting her powers. So what they need to concentrate on is that while in this semi-human state, she's more vulnerable and kind of insane. A crazy hell god. Xander just can't believe it. The fun just keeps on leaving. Giles thinks it's being in their dimension that is causing her mental instability. That the only way she can keep herself even slightly sane is to feed on the energy of humans. Well, their brains. According to the literature, she feeds on the energy that binds the human brain into a cohesive unit. So she's a brain sucker? Tara doesn't like the sound of that. But this would explain why there has been such an increase in the ranks of the mentally unstable in Sunnydale lately. Again, Tara looks worried because at least a vampire will just kill you. So, like the whole Joyce thing, this scene is actually really heartbreaking to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because we now know, going back, that Tara's fears are very founded.
Oh, yeah.
And this is foreshadowing what's going to happen in just a couple of episodes.
Yeah, it's not long until, And we're approaching Joyce.
I know.
Too fast.
Yeah, we have a couple episodes, though. We have a couple episodes.
Yes.
Buffy says they need to come up with a plan, and Willow volunteers her and Tara to try and work on some more tactical spells. Anya offers research, as she knows way more about demon dimensions than Giles does. What? She does. Xander's down with the planning. Really, it's great long-term tactical stuff, but what about the key? Buffy doesn't think they should really be focusing on that right now. Why not? Because whatever Glory is planning on opening with it, Willow highly doubts it will be filled with candy and butterflies. So do they know where it used to be kept? Who had it last? Buffy says they do. Her and Giles, they know where it is. Wait, she knew? And she didn't tell them. Both Xander and Willow are extremely hurt by this. Giles says they had reasons not to. And Buffy says if Glory knew, they knew. She couldn't put them in that kind of danger, as opposed to the danger they're always in. She should have said something. For a moment, it looks like Buffy might argue, might once again defend her choice to keep this a secret. But she stops herself and says, Willow's right. Then, looking to Giles, she says, it's time. Is she sure? They're going to be risking their lives. They deserve to know. Deserve to know what? Looking at her friends, Buffy says, there's something they need to know about Dawn. We don't get to hear how Buffy explains this as we go to a bonfire where the Knights of Byzantium are having themselves a good old-fashioned chant. The key is the link must be severed, so is the will of God. This is eventually broken up by Dreg and the other minions who want to know if they really think he is going to help them. Because Dreg thinks their faith might be severely misplaced. And with that, they launch their attack. The Knights are just slaughtering the minions, taking them out one by one until only Dreg remains. As the Knight advances on him, he says that perhaps it is time they test his faith. But as he goes to stab him, well, Glory arrives. Never said minions should do a god's job. Yeah, the Knights don't stand a chance. She takes them out and looks absolutely fabulous doing so.
Mm-hmm.
I love her little red sparkly outfit.
Mm-hmm.
credits, still awesome.
Yeah, Glory rivals Buffy with the good look, with the...
Oh, yeah. After the credits, we return to the magic shop, or rather outside the magic shop, where Willow and Tara are working on an early warning spell, something to alert them should Glory or any of her demon-y friends come looking for the key. Dawn arrives while they're finishing up, and as Buffy originally feared, they're a bit weird. Stumbling over some words, reluctant to let her help, saying Buffy probably wouldn't like the youngest Summers mixing with the black arts. But I don't really think a warning spell is dark mat, but okay. Dawn, who is wearing the cutest, most like 14-year-old shirt ever, Little Miss Drama, is not about this vibe. And whatever's her way into the shop. Oh, Becky would be so disappointed.
And her backpack is cute.
Her backpack is cute. It's Frank something.
Yeah. Paul Frank.
Little monkey.
Paul Frank?
Maybe, yes. Yeah, maybe it's Frank monkey.
Yeah, I know them. Yeah, like I have folders somewhere that have that monkey on it.
Yeah, but very early 2000s, very like 14-year-old trend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was right. It's Paul Frank.
Good job remembering.
I know. See, that it's one of those things where you have to release something before you can remember something else. So I don't know what I lost to remember that.
As she goes, Tara, who is also looking stellar today in the like olive army green shade, it really suits Amber.
Yeah. Yeah. They have really figured out how to dress Amber.
Says she just can't believe she's not real. She's real, just new. Inside the shop, Anya is tidying up while Xander does some researching. Shockingly, Xander is the most normal of everyone.
Well, to be fair, you'd think that they would just be used to things by now, you know? Like,
yeah, like, oh, okay. Reality was altered. It's Friday. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they've experienced so much. Like, why not this?
He's a little overenthusiastic, but not out of character, because Dawn just takes it to mean he's gotten into the sugar again. Anya, however, is beyond awkward, telling Dawn that she makes a very pretty little girl. It's Xander to the rescue as he jumps up and asks Anya if she'd like to help him with this thing. Still awkward, Anya says Xander needs help with his thing. And I very much expected some sort of penis reference to follow that, but shockingly, none did. So they disappear into the back room while Buffy and Giles emerge into the main room, talking about Buffy's training, her patrols, elements that make it harder. Buffy feels that Giles tends to have this whole harder is better mentality. Maybe next patrol she should carry bricks and use a stake made of butter. Funny. He understands how she feels, however, and imagines Dawn must feel the same about school. Yeah? Is that true? How was school? Dawn, who is clocking Giles's notebook, watching him close it, seeing where he puts it, says it was pretty much the same as always. Big square building chocked full of annoying people. So exactly how Buffy remembers it. Good to know. And the homework stitch? They have to write a letter to themselves 10 years in the future. Her teacher is so out of ideas. Does Buffy want to help? Maybe in a little bit. She has some stuff she needs to take care of. About that girl who came to the house? Glory. And no, doesn't matter. Like, she'd tell Dawn anyway. Dawn's too young. Dawn's too delicate. Yep, a young, delicate pain in her ass. That's Dawn. Dawn thinks Buffy's just waked because she has to fight someone prettier than her. Ooh. That is the case, right? Glory is evil and powerful and in no way prettier than her. Dawn just thinks maybe she's getting soft in her advanced age. She didn't look that powerful to Dawn. Having a sister, I can say this is 100% accurate. This is a sister conversation.
Dawn woke up and chose violence.
Dawn did. And I just, that little like, I win smirk at the end, like, 100% accurate sibling relation here. We go to Glory next. She's torturing one of the knights, trying to find out if they know where the key is. That's not happening, as he says he will die 1,000 deaths before he tells her. Yeah, they don't need 1,000. She'll make the first one last a long, long time. What is it with religious types? It's the intimacy, isn't it? They're afraid of letting someone in. She gets it. It's scary the first time, but he doesn't need to be afraid. So he doesn't have the info she wants. He still has something she needs. And with that, she plunges her fingers deep into his brain, sucking out all the sweet, sweet sanity.
Bye-bye.
Well, not quite farewell yet, dear knight, but farewell, dear knight sanity.
Yeah, yep, yeah, we'll see you later.
At the Summers house, everyone is firmly in birthday mode, even Buffy, because who doesn't love presents?
She is so cute in this scene.
She is.
From her, like, her whole look is so good today, is so good in this. And her whole gimme, 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 gimme.
Yes, I love it. It's just so cute. She's happy. We know that won't last.
Yeah, like, that's why, again, like, I'm really glad they had this birthday party.
Yeah.
You know, they're, you know, again, it's not going to last even with, you know.
It's not even going to last through the party.
It's not even going to last through the party.
In this moment, she is happy.
She is happy, yes.
I mean, Anya also loves presents. She finds the opening of presents very exciting, suspenseful even. And she wishes they were all hers. As Buffy opens the present from Willow, who is just like blowing bubbles in the background. Very cute. And Tara, she finds a blouse. A very cute, silkish blouse that Anya is just itching to grab. What? Everyone else was thinking it. She knows they were. Not Giles. He says he has one just like it. Dad's learning to relax. It's good.
Oh, Rupert.
Willow and Tara figured Buffy'd be getting a lot of Slayer-themed stuff, and so pretty close. Dawn wants to go next and hands Buffy a small square package. It's not going to explode, is it? Opening it, she reveals a framed photo of the two of them on the beach. From when they visited their dad down in San Diego that summer. They found all those shells on the beach, and Dawn glued them to the frame herself. Buffy remembers that visit, that day, and it sends a surge of emotions around the room. Everyone now reconciling their memories, their feelings with what they have learned. Dawn tells them not to go all movie of the week. It is just too cheap to buy a real present.
Poor Dawn. Like,
Buffy doesn't care. She loves it and hugs her sister, shooting her mom a look over her shoulder. In the kitchen, Joyce, Buffy, and Giles are getting drink refills / tidying up a bit and talking about Dawn, about whether her being the key is dangerous. Dawn's trying to listen in, but Buffy catches her. What's up? Party getting slow? No, they just need more plates. It's cake time. Taking the plates into the other room, Dawn notices that everyone's demeanor kind of changes.
This is why Buffy didn't tell anybody.
Right? Because an example.
This group of friends has absolutely no chill.
No chill whatsoever.
Like, I do love this whole thing because, yes, it proves why Buffy didn't want to tell anybody. Because she knew, like, at least Giles and Mom are a lot more subtle.
Yeah.
And not being awkward around Dawn.
Yeah, but everybody else just real weird.
Like, and that's why Dawn figures out something is wrong, because everybody is weird.
What? Why is everyone suddenly acting so weird every time she walks into a room? Them? Weird? Xander's not weird. Dawn knows they were talking about her. Everyone's talking about her. They weren't. Really? Anya says they were talking about sex. As Buffy and the others return, Dawn repeats her accusation. They were talking about her. No. Again, Anya says they were talking about sex. Everyone knows them, knows they like to pretend stuff. Like sometimes there's a fireman or a shepherd. I both want to know and never want to know about the whole shepherd thing.
No. And that's the thing. It's like, and again, like, we had to get to Dawn figuring out something was wrong. But
yeah,
you don't talk about a person right after they leave the room when you know they're going to come back.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I mean, I don't know. This is Anya and Xander. Maybe they really were talking about sex. But yeah. I just, because again, Giles' face, he's learning shit against his will.
Mm-hmm.
Which Buffy suggests they not have this exchange of images right now.
But yeah, but also like the way that they were talking about Dawn in the kitchen. It's like,
no, they were. Yeah, they should not have been doing that.
Yeah. Like, this is a Dawn has gone to bed.
Yeah.
We're hanging out, like, which, like, they've done before.
Yeah. Like, not when people could come tramping through.
Yeah. We need. That's the thing. Like, this group of people needs to learn to be more subtle.
Dawn is still super riled up and says, of course Buffy's shutting down the conversation because God forbid Dawn hear anything. You know what? She's just going to bed. That way, she won't accidentally be exposed to any words. She storms upstairs and Willow weakly offers everyone cake. Dawn doesn't stay upstairs, though. Oh no, she goes out the window. A trick she clearly learned from Buffy's years of sneaking out to slay.
That is definitely I learned it from watching you.
But as she's creeping across the backyard, she runs into Spike. Spike, who is holding chocolates.
The box of chocolate that he initially was going to give to Buffy that he threw at the mannequin.
Did he bring Buffy a birthday present? No. Dawn doesn't believe him. It's weird. Chocolates are lame. And in a bent box on top of it all. He does know Buffy would never touch anything from him, right? Spike tries to intimidate her, saying something about how she should be all tucked into bed, safe and warm, where nothing can hurt her. But she just laughs. Was that supposed to be scary? A little tremble wouldn't hurt. Dawn, sorry. It's just, she's badder than Spike. Or not. M2, he's standing in the bushes, hugging a box of chocolate, and she, what, is sneaking out to braid her hair and watch Teletubbies with her mates. No, she's breaking into the magic shop to steal things. Magic shop, eh? There's a lot of beasties between there and here. Bet they'd love to get their hands on a little Red Riding Hood like her. Wouldn't sit too well with Big Sister. So that worries Dawn, but she keeps a brave face. She can take care of herself. Does Spike want to come steal things with her? Yeah, sure. I love how eager Spike is to tag along, not just to steal stuff, but also to take care of Dawn.
Yeah. Yeah, because if he lets because he's in love with Buffy, and if he lets little sister get killed,
I think he also just really
he likes
the niblet.
Yeah, she's like, if he's at a good place right now with people.
Yeah.
Like, we know that, you know, he probably has memories of threatening her, you know, in the past.
Probably. Who knows?
But maybe he liked her from the beginning. I would like that. I would like to know what Spike thought about her from the beginning.
Maybe she was just part of the Hot Cocoa Club with him and Joyce.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
So the two of them do just that. Spike taking a moment to pick the lock as he's used to just bursting through doors. Once inside, he asks Dawn what they're there for. Jewels, ancient artifacts, money lifted from the till. A book. A book. They're doing all this for a book? Dawn doesn't want the actual book, just what's inside it. Giles' notes. She heads behind the register and searches for the secret drawer he put it in. All while Spike steals a crystal. Next we see them. They're sitting on the floor looking over the notes and Spike is commenting on Giles' tiny handwriting. Which, hey, I too have tiny handwriting, so yay me and Giles.
It's the, well, for you, it's probably that Catholic school.
Probably.
Because every person I know who has tiny, tiny handwriting is Catholic school.
Dawn thinks she found something. Something about the monks we met at the beginning of the season and how they were tasked with protecting the key. Spike says those brown robe types are always protecting something. It's the only way they can justify giving up girls. He then spots Olaf's hammer and tries to steal it. Only he can't lift it.
He's not worthy.
Whatever. Didn't go with his stuff anyway. I love this. I love this so much. Because a little of the it's not worthy. But like, as far as hammer moments go, this is kind of right up there with like Pietro grabbing Thor's hammer.
Oh, yeah.
And then every choice that led him to that moment.
That is one of my favorite scenes ever. Just him, his face as he sees the hammer, and just you could see him going, ooh, shiny. I want that. And then grabbing it. And yeah, like you said, regretting every decision.
Dawn keeps reading about how there is no real description of the key. Only that it's a source of cosmic energy that vibrates at a speed no human can perceive. Only those outside normal reality can see it. Dawn asks what that means, and Spike says, seers, mostly. Second sight types. But it can also mean you're run-of-the-mill lunatics. Uh-oh. Dawn looks like she's starting to remember all the creepy people who have said seemingly random and off-the-wall things to her.
All the creepy people.
Spike wants to know what else it says about the key. Is it made of gold? If so, maybe they can hawk it. Spike the take. Dawn says it's apparently susceptible to necromanced animal detection. especially that of the canine and serpentine variety. And now she's remembering the snake creature. Taking the notebook, Spike takes over the reading, noting that Giles writes as dull as he talks. He reads about how the monks are able to transform the key, alter reality, and how they did so in order to send the key to the Slayer, to make sure she would protect it with her life. They made the key human and gave Buffy a Slayer. Huh. Spike looks at Dawn. Guess that's her. He also calls her Niblet there, which I love. But yeah, no, Spike has, like, the proper Sunnydale reaction to this. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Guess that's you.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah, like nothing. These people, nobody should be surprised by anything anymore.
Yeah. Back at the Summers house, Willow says, nothing from Riley? Not even a card? Nope. But then Buffy wasn't really expecting one, given the whole no contact with civilians thing. She thinks she might start a new tradition. Birthdays without boyfriends. That could be a thing, right? Hey, she's preaching to the choir. Tara says some of her best. Oh. She stops staring right behind Buffy at Dawn, who has not only returned, but has sliced her arm open. Immediately, Buffy and Joyce go to her. Dawn, though, she's completely out of it. In shock and still processing. What is this? It's blood, right? It's blood, but it can't be hers. She's not a thing, a key. Is she real? What is she? She breaks down crying as Joyce takes her into her arms, hugging her tight, and Buffy also looks ready to cry. The others leave, telling Buffy that if she needs anything, they're only a phone call away. And Giles, he wants to stay. But Buffy assures him they have it. It's a family thing. Excuse you, ma'am. That man is family. Still, he leaves, and Buffy heads upstairs to join Dawn and her mother in Dawn's room. Why didn't they tell her? They were going to. They just wanted to wait until she was older. How old is she now? 14. She knows that. No. How long ago? When did the monk... Buffy tells her 6 months. So she's only been alive for 6 months. Joy says she's been alive a lot longer than that to them. Has she? They don't know. They don't know anything. She's just a key. Sitting beside her, Buffy says that she and their mom know what they feel. They know they love her, worry about her. Buffy worries about her because she has to. It's her job. Protect the key. Buffy says she worries because her sister is cutting herself. How do they know? Maybe she's not. Maybe it's just another fake memory with her fake family. Joyce tries to calm things down, but Dawn just tells them to get out. And when Buffy attempts to interject, she only screams it louder. I can't blame Dawn for any of this.
Yeah.
Baby doll's going through an existential crisis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You find out that you didn't exist until 6 months ago.
Yeah.
But you have all of these memories and everybody has all these memories about you.
Yeah. You're going to flip out.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, and again, like her whole, like a 14-year-old react, like her 14-year-old reaction is extreme because she is going through something.
Yeah.
So like, I can't blame her for flipping out and, you know, doing what she does because she just found out that she didn't exist until 6 months ago. So what's the point to anything?
Oh, poor Dawn.
I know. Poor Dawn, poor Buffy, poor Joyce, especially like all three of them.
Yeah.
Because they found out that, again, Dawn only came to them 6 months ago, but everything feels real.
Yeah.
And they could have rejected. They could have rejected her because you're not my child. You don't belong here. It's like a cuckoo, you know, the cuckoo in the nest. So, but she's still hers and they're theirs and they don't care that she
exactly
just arrived out of nowhere. They still love her.
The next day we're back at the shop. Buffy says they need to learn everything they can about the key. Xander agrees, especially why Glory has such a big girly heart on for it. Buffy says no. Right now, this isn't about Glory. It's about Dawn. She deserves to know where she came from. Needs to know. Or else it's just going to eat away at her. Giles wants to know how she even found the notebooks.
Well, I mean, you did put them in your secret drawer right in front of her and everyone else.
You were being shifty.
How'd she even get in there? Everyone is wondering that until Anya appears, grossed out that someone is using a sacred urn as an ashtray. That answers that question. And so Buffy heads off to Spike's crypt to confront him. He's sitting atop, what do we call those, sarcophaguses?
Yeah, sarcophagus.
doing his nails when Buffy storms in and flips him inside, trapping him. How could he let her find out like that? From books and papers. Does he really hate her that much? He was just along for the ride. He didn't know she was all mystic glowy energy. No one keeps him in the loop. He could have stopped her. Right. Right, because something goes wrong in her life and let's all blame Spike. If Dawn wants to sneak out, she's going to find a way to do so. Spike just thought she'd be safer with him along for the ride.
And he described every teenage.
Oh, yeah.
Teenager ever. If they want to sneak out, they're going to sneak out.
I mean, I like to call this scene Mommy and Daddy are fighting over how best to parent their wayward mystical teen. Mm-hmm. Because that is what is happening here.
Exactly. He's like, I went with her. It's the whole thing. It's the whole thing that some parents do. It's like, I'd rather them drink in the house than go out somewhere. And then, you know, the other parent is like, fuck no.
Buffy really can't argue that. And so just repeats that Dawn shouldn't have found out like that. She didn't really think she could keep the truth from her forever, did she? Maybe if she had been more honest with Dawn to begin with, she wouldn't be trying to make herself feel better with a round to kick the spike.
Yeah, and stop talking about someone when they can walk in the room.
Right?
Because that's like Dawn said, if people act funny when you walk in the room, you're gonna start to think and get paranoid that it's about you.
Yeah. At that, Buffy storms out and Spike, he looks like he feels a tad bit guilty for yelling at her. And of course that the niblet is upset. At the Summers house, Dawn has clearly been in bed since the night before, as she is still wearing the same outfit. Joyce enters through the door connecting their rooms, still a weird layout, and tells her that she's going to be late for school. How early did everyone meet at the magic shop? That Buffy has already been there and to Spike's crypt before school even started.
Time has no meaning.
This is true. I mean, it's not as bad as that, like, Glee episode where it was, like, nighttime at Kurt's house and Blaine was still in school at Dalton.
I will never forget that. Like, and also in Glee, like, time was funny because you'd have people in school and then people doing other things and
like nothing will be as bad with time as Glee.
Yeah, I always have a theory that everybody was dead. So I like because when you're in a dream and you know, or everybody was like, it's weird.
There you go.
I forgot. I completely forgot about that one where like
that was like the worst
because you're in the same state like.
Yeah, there's time zones here.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing if somebody is in California and the other person's in New York. Like this,
you could probably like fudge. Nobody really slept that night.
It was
they
a
just
rough...
decided to get together early.
Yeah,
but yeah, no. Okay. Dawn says she's not going. Blobs of energy don't need educations. Does she want some soup? Joyce thinks they might have chicken and stars. She's not sick. She's not anything. Joyce tries to comfort her, but no. Dawn doesn't want it and doesn't want her touching her. She's not her mother, which is an interesting parallel to earlier in the season when Buffy learned about Dawn while inside the spell and told Dawn she wasn't her sister.
Mm-hmm.
Dawn says she's changed her mind. Getting up and grabbing her stuff, she says she'd rather be at school. This scene is a heartbreaking one. Because again, it's really hard to blame Dawn.
Yeah.
Like, girl is going through it.
Yeah, like you know, like she said, she's like, why do I have to go to school? I'm not real. Like, I don't exist.
But like, poor Joyce.
Yeah.
Because she knows Dawn isn't biologically hers, but she has 14 years of memories and emotions, and that's still her little girl. And mm-hmm. she just wants to ease her little girl's pain. And there is nothing anyone can do. There is nothing. And Buffy's going to say it later.
Yeah.
You can't make this better with a hug.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, Dawn is going to have to settle down on her own.
Yeah.
And realize, like, and you know, like, yeah, by the end, everything will be a little better, you know, but Dawn had a real, like, this is finding out that you're adopted.
Yeah. This is a very extreme case.
Yeah.
Of finding out that you're adopted.
Yeah. This is 14-year-old mystic hormones.
And I mean, I think that is a good way to explain how Buffy and Joyce feel about Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Because
like, no, biologically, she is not related to them. Though you could make an argument that, like, she probably shares something biologically with Buffy if they, like, made her from Buffy.
Yeah.
But if Joyce and Hank had gone out and adopted this baby,
mm-hmm.
she'd still be Buffy's sister. She'd still be Joyce's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She'd still be a point of their family. That's what's happening here, that she is their family. They've chosen her.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the adoption agency was these weird monks.
Yeah, who decided to give her fully formed and...
yeah. At the hospital, Ben is on duty in the psych ward delivering meds when one of the patients starts rambling. We see that this is not just any patient, but the Knight of Byzantium that Glory drained at the beginning of the episode. Interesting that she let him live afterwards. Like, I would think, seeing that he has a big old crest on his forehead,
yeah.
that she would have just killed him. But I guess that is the fun of Glory.
Glory,
you never know
yeah,
what she's
yeah.
gonna do.
Yeah, you can't, you just can't predict what she is gonna do or what she should do. She does what she wants. She's a god.
Ben recognizes the symbol and says something right as a minion appears. Yes, it's true. They're in town. How many? Few for now, but their numbers are sure to grow. They must act. Ben knows this, for his fate is directly tied to that of the most marvelous Glorificus, who up until now has been gracious concerning his foibles. But if he does not soon begin to cooperate, then what? She'll send a six-pack of minions to bore him to death? Glory can't touch him. He knows it. She knows it. So he suggests the minion back off before he finishes what he started with his face. Back at Casa Summers, Dawn is still trying to make sense of everything, reading back through old journals, through a life she's now realizing she never lived. Joyce doesn't like this. They can't just leave her to sit up there alone. They can, and they have to. She needs time. Time to deal with it. So that's Buffy's answer, to just leave her alone? No, of course not. But she knows if it was her, she'd want time. She wouldn't want her mother and sister coming at her from all sides. So I'm sure it was a time-saving thing. But I'm surprised that Buffy didn't reference, like, right after she found out about being the Slayer.
Yeah.
And how she, when she got this life-changing news,
mm-hmm.
she needed time to process that.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, probably a time-saving measure. Didn't have time for Joyce to have feelings about that.
Yeah.
Moving on. As Dawn finally emerges and starts to head downstairs, we hear Joyce say she was suspended today at school, that she yelled at a teacher. The things she said, Joyce doesn't understand. She's never talked like that before. Well, right now, she's probably thinking she can say and or do whatever she wants. She's not real. They're not actually her family. They don't even know what she is. And once again, someone who only hears part of a conversation
mm-hmm.
takes it entirely wrong.
Well, yeah, I can't blame her for that.
No, because like, you're already very keyed up. You're very yeah. sensitive. Like, anyone would have reacted to that.
Mm-hmm.
So Dawn slams back into her room and begins destroying it, pulling down posters, tearing up her journals, throwing things off dressers and bookshelves. How did nobody hear that?
I know. I would have. Yeah.
Like, I would have been upstairs at the first crash. But okay. Joyce is appalled. How can Buffy talk about Dawn like she's a thing? She's not. She's just saying that is probably how Dawn feels. Well, they need to show her that's not true. That she's still a part of this family and that they love her. It's not that simple. Buffy tells her mom that this is not the type of problem that can be solved with a hug and a bowl of soup. Dawn needs to know where she came from. She needs real answers. What she needs is her sister, not the Slayer. The Slayer is the only thing standing between Dawn and this god from the bitch dimension who wants to shove her in some keyhole and give her a good twirl. She needs to be out there doing her job, not... Alarm bells sound and Buffy jumps up. Willow's spell. Buffy charges upstairs and Joyce follows, telling her it's not the spell, it's the fire alarm. As Dawn has set everything she threw away on fire.
A very normal reaction.
Buffy calls for her and Joyce tries to stop her. No, she could have burned the house down. Joyce just motions to the open window. She's gone.
At the magic shop, Buffy is filling the gang in, telling them how she burned all her diaries. The Dawnmeister Chronicles? Xander's shocked. Willow says she's been keeping those since, well, since she was 7. Buffy has that memory too. She figured they could split up, sweep the city, find Dawn before Glory or the Knights of Hack and Slash, figure out who she is. Her mom is staying at home in case she comes back. Likewise, she asks Anya to stay at the shop in case Dawn shows up there. Giles and Xander can take one part of town, Willow and Tara another, and then she and Spike will take the last. I do love that Spike was invited to the Find Dawn party.
Yeah.
Like, Buffy seriously trusts him with her family. And I will take this opportunity to remind everyone that we never, ever saw that with Angel. Mm-hmm. Angel was never asked to watch over her mother or anything.
Yep.
Dawn is on the mean streets of Sunnydale, hanging in an empty park. Donnie, please.
Donnie.
Don't you know that that's where creepers like Drusilla like to go?
That is, parks are the worst place to be in Sunnydale after dark. That's where the whole your sister nearly got burned.
Yeah. She sees the swing set and is reminded of another park, probably back in LA, and Buffy pushing her. Tearful, she turns away. Xander, still processing, as he and Giles comb their part of town. There's just so many things that he remembers. Babysitting Dawn, hanging with her, listening to Buffy complain about her.
Yeah.
Mostly the last one. How can none of that be real? Giles says it will take some getting used to. The idea that this 14-year-old girl is actually a ball of mystic energy. Probably wicked powerful in her raw form, too. People have killed and died for it. Sought armies to control it. Xander points out that Dawn seems to have a crush on him. And his point? Just, you know, powerful being, digging the Sandman. Some people are just cooler like that. Giles doesn't even bother to dignify that with a response. He just continues the search. Walking through the park Dawn was just in, or maybe another park, who knows? Buffy calls out Dawn's name. Oh, sure, that'll help. Spike reminds her that Dawn ran away in order to not be around Buffy. If she hears her bellowing, she's going to run off again. With a sigh, Buffy says Spike was right. She should have told her. Maybe if she had... And Spike, being a good Spike, comforts her, saying she would have run off whether Buffy told her or not. She would have run off whenever Buffy told her, if that's what she wanted to do. Because she's not just this mystical ball of energy. She's a 14-year-old hormone bomb. And who knows which one of them is messing her up more. But Buffy will find her, right in the nick of time. It's what heroes do. Buffy looks at him and he tells her again, much more earnestly, she'll find her. Then what? Dawn, it seems, has wandered over towards the hospital because apparently she thought it would be a good idea to just pop into the psych ward and seek answers there.
And also, this goes back to the Wild West of the 90s. And
yeah.
even like when I like watching Sons of Anarchy and how like the creeper FBI guy just walked right into the NICU to look at the baby. Like
right? Right?
Like, yeah, like Dawn just wandering the hospital and ending up in, like, and again, people that are just wandering into the school and wandering.
Oh, the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah, oh my God. I'm just going to walk into this hospital where there's a baby in the NICU and I'm just gonna be in there and stare at him and
fucking creeper. Fucking creeper. Oh, I hate you so much. Okay, I cannot get too wrapped up in my hate for him right now. We gotta talk about Dawn some more.
Yes. But it's the same, like that's the same, it's the same energy. It's the same like how are you able to go into just, and also like just the way that whole ward is set up is
right?
Bizarre. Like, usually places like that have locked doors.
Yeah.
Because they are worried about if one of them would
break their restraints.
Break their restraints and wander off and hurt themselves. Like, it's. I have a lot of questions for the medical board. Somebody needs to report this hospital.
Dawn doesn't get many answers. Only the knight has something even semi-useful to say, and even then it's not entirely coherent. He mentions the key, a destroyer, things bleeding into the sky, and then he just starts murmuring thank you and how this is the will of God. Dawn starts to flee, but when she opens the door, she sees Ben, who takes her to the lounge for some hot cocoa. Sadly, he couldn't find any marshmallows. Maybe next time. Dawn says it's fine. She doesn't like marshmallows anyway. What? How is that even possible? Too squishy. When she was 5, Buffy told her they were monkey brains, and she stops, because that never happened. Was her mom brought back in? Is that why she's here? No, her mom is fine.
I mean, I'm so glad he asked, though.
Yeah, Ben's a good guy.
Yeah, like,
in a bad situation, but he's a good guy.
Yeah, Ben's caught up in a bad situation, but I like how he's just like, why are you here? Yes, I like when people ask questions of people just wandering around a hospital.
Is there someone he can call? Her sister? She doesn't have a sister. Oh, the two of them had a fight. He gets that. He has a sister too. She can be a real pain. And there have been plenty of nights that he wished she didn't exist. It's not that. It's not Buffy. It's Dawn. She's the one that doesn't exist. He doesn't get it. It's not real, any of this. She's not real. She's just a thing created by the monks so Glory couldn't find her. Oh boy. That has Ben's attention. Standing, he says, Dawn's the key. She's what Glory's been searching for. She needs to go. Don't ask him how he knows about this. Just go before she finds out, because she always finds out. And she's just a kid. Quick, run. Get far away before she... Ben stops. She's coming. Dawn needs to go now before she gets there. Before Ben morphs into Glory, still holding on to Dawn. Hey, doesn't she know her? A moment or two passes, Glory changing out of Ben's scrubs, lamenting the pedestrian nature of cotton. As she slips into a silk dress, she says, that is way better.
Did she just steal somebody's weird slinky dress, or did she plant it?
I assume they keep both.
Yeah.
In the locker. That was my assumption.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kept in the locker in case the change happens at the hospital.
Yeah.
But she was Ben. It's a bit more complicated than that. A family always is. Dawn looks towards the door and Glory says she'll never make it. She'd rip out her spine before she was halfway there. And those little legs of hers? Well, what good would they be without that? So tell her, what was the Slayer's kid sister doing there with Gentle Ben? She doesn't remember? No. Why would she? Dawn was talking to Ben, not her. Was he being naughty? Before Dawn can answer, a security guard comes in, forcing Glory to snap his neck. Rude!
See,
she was talking.
She will kill somebody.
Yeah. Why doesn't she and Dawn go find somewhere secluded, off the beaten path, where they can have a nice, long, uninterrupted chat? Buffy and Spike meet in the cemetery with everybody else. No one's seen her. Now Buffy's super worried, because anything could have happened to her, not just Glory. Conveniently, Buffy thinks they should go check the hospital, where Glory and Dawn have found a lab to talk in. See, Glory's short on time, and she knows that Dawn's sister, the Slayer, has her key. So if Dawn could just tell her where she squirreled it away, there's ice cream and puppy dogs in it for her if she starts singing. Dawn's not sure. What's it look like? Well, the last time Glory saw it, it was a bright green shimmer. Really brought out the blue in her eyes. But then those sneaky monks got a hold of it, and now it could look like anything. Huh. Well, Dawn says maybe if Glory told her more about it, she'd know if she'd seen it. For a moment, it looks like Glory might threaten her or hurt her. But then she's like, okay. Downstairs, Buffy steps away from the desk. She wasn't brought in. That's a good thing, right? Buffy's not sure, because now this is just one more place that Dawn is not. But before she can express that, someone walks by with two officers talking about a dead guy in the break room. Glory. Buffy, this is Sunnydale. Anything could have killed that dude.
Yeah.
But okay, sure, it was Glory. I mean, it was, but Glory is just happily talking to Dawn. Yes, the key is old, but not as old as her. Still, it's close to forever. Is it evil? Oh, definitely. No, not really. It depends on your point of view. So if it's a key. There's a lock. Ding, ding, ding. They have a winner. What's it open? Now Gloria's starting to get suspicious of all the questions. And she says she smells a fox in her hen house. Is that why Dawn was getting all cozy with Uncle Ben? She wants to see Glory's unmentionables? No. No, she... Shh. Glory kind of wants to hear her talking right now. Her talking. You know what she's starting to think? She's starting to think that she has no idea where her key is, which is very irritating, very irrational. Know what she means, tiny snapdragon? Glory's not looking so good and kind of half collapses on the table talking about bugs underneath her skin. Dawn wants to know what's wrong with her, and Glory suddenly pokes up because this does not have to be a total waste. She's been meaning to send the Slayer a message, and here they are. Two birds, one stone, bam! Dead birds. That's when Buffy and the others arrive. Get away from her sister. Hey, they were just talking about her. Yeah, well, conversation's over, hell bitch. Dawn runs towards Willow as Buffy punches Glory straight in the jaw. Spike walks in late, but arrives at a place where he can grab Glory and hold her for Buffy. Thought she said the skank was tough. Glory turns on him and pummels him a bit, telling Buffy that when her boyfriend wakes up, he is not her boyfriend. But Buffy, is that really what's important right now? They continue to fight as Tara begins chanting something a few feet away. Despite all the violence, Glory likes Buffy's shoes. Buffy gets Glory into position and yells, "Now!" Giles shoots her, but nothing happens, which is when Xander sneaks up behind with a crowbar. He gets in one good hit, and then she grabs him. Hey, watch the hair! See, now the dying's going to start, beginning with the whelp. She throws the crowbar at Dawn, but Buffy dives in front, getting hit. Not terribly so, but... enough to wound. That's fine. His Tara and Willow's spell is ready, and they toss some sort of glitter dust all over her before making her disappear, sending her off to who knows where. See, they're still working the kinks out of that particular spell. Giles says that was really dangerous, and Willow agrees. Won't be trying that one again anytime soon. For the record, they sent her into the atmosphere, which then causes her to come crashing back down to Earth. Sitting with Dawn, Buffy asks, is she okay? Is she hurt? Why does she care? Because she loves her. Because she's her sister. No, she's not. Yes, she is. Buffy points to the blood on Dawn's arm. See that? It's blood. Summer's blood. Same as Buffy's. Well, that sounds like something that might be important later.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter where she came from or how she got there. She's her sister. There's no way she could annoy her as much if she wasn't. Crying, the two hug, and Dawn says she was so scared. So is Buffy. Slowly, they get to their feet, ready to head out, when Dawn says, Ben, he was there. And she thinks he was trying to help her. But then Glory came. She doesn't remember. Well, the next time they see him, they'll thank him. But right now, she needs to get Dawn home, as their mom is kind of freaked. Oh, is she mad about the whole fire thing? Buffy thinks Dawn may have a get-out-of-jail-free card due to the whole big love and trauma thing. Does she think her mom will raise her allowance? Buffy wouldn't push it. The end. Yay. So there we have it. Ben is Glory and Glory is Ben.
Yep. The mystery has been solved.
The mystery has been solved.
Yep.
And as you saw with the near the end of this, something happens that nobody can remember this, which is going to be interesting and lead to a great moment later because there is one person who will remember this.
Yeah. And this is why if you're new to the series and the whole thing, why in a lot of groups, you'll see a lot of jokes about Glory and Ben.
Is there some connection? There's some connection Glory between Ben?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole...
it's a whole thing.
It's a whole running gag.
Yes. It's a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just always reminds me of the Emperor's New Groove, the cartoon they did, like where he was in school and there was Principal Amzie.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole Amzie's Yzma and Yzma's Amzie.
Yeah.
So Beneth, Lori, and Glory's Beth.
Yep.
But okay, that is it for this week. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time when we take on season 5, episode 14, Crush, The Return of Drusilla.
Yay.
Until then, check out our various social media channels, all of which will be listed in the show notes. And if you like the show and you want to let us know it, you can subscribe, rate and review wherever you listen to your podcasts, or write to us directly at thewatchersdiaries@gmail.com. Bye.
Bye.